You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stukats Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I want to ask the group something that is being put forth here by D1, the Belt of Galu. D1 chosen to put some respect on Tua's name. Tua was the best red zone quarterback in 2021, second in deep ball passes, 20 yards or more, and fourth in third down conversion rate. Hashtag fins up, Stugatz. Nice. He was the best RPO quarterback in the NFL. He produced the most RPO passing yards, 847, was the best red zone QB in the NFL, highest completion percentage red zone passes with more than 50 attempts, second best accurate quarterback of passes more than 20 yards with at least 20 attempts, just behind Justin Herbert, fourth best on-target completion percentage, even statistically better than division rival Josh Allen's first two seasons. Also had statistically similar numbers in his first 16 games as Tom Brady's first 16 games of his career. Now, this is the maximum Tuanon, all the positive stats that favor Tua.
Dan, too, obviously from Hawaii, from Iwa Beach. Beautiful place, by the way.
What color is the sand?
Oh, it's like it's almost like a gold.
Oh,
beautiful.
Gold sand?
Wow. Yeah, it's gold.
I don't believe you. I would have heard of it.
It's almost gold. It's almost it's so many realms beyond the normal colors of sand.
And Hawaii's got some funky sand color.
You're saying there is a golden beach.
That's
beach
right, Dan.
There's a red sand
Iwa beach.
There's kind of like a green sand beach.
Yeah, black sand beach.
Not
but
gold.
But there isn't a gold beach.
All sand in Hawaii is kind of gold. It's got like a beautiful just brown gold color.
Oh, no, it's not.
Amazing.
I'm doubting you even went now.
You was it a green screen like Stephen A. comes down to Miami and spends the whole week here in Coral Gables with a fake background behind
Coral Gables, yeah.
We don't know that he actually went to Hawaii. We will come back to your Hawaii expertise. But then, Stugatz, as I read you all those stats, and, you know, it's early for this, but it's never too early for it because we're going into a season where every game is going to be a referendum at the most important position because can he throw deep to Tyreek Hill is going to be, like, immediately a conversation.
Of course.
And Ryan Harris says that he's not buying any of the hype on Tua and that he has heard that he is allegedly underthrowing Tyreek Hill all the time. And I just don't think I've ever seen this covered this way. That we are examining whether balls are fluttering, whether Tyreek Hill in practice is waiting for a ball to come down, whether we're assuming that, okay, nobody has the arm strength that Patrick Mahomes has. Patrick Mahomes couldn't overthrow this person. It seems like a very basic question we're asking that is kind of stupid.
I blame the Dolphins social media team for putting that video out there. In an effort to hype your quarterback, you have him underthrowing Tyreek Hill. That's why all the questions are being asked
now. But Gotts, I hate to break it to you, but there were plenty of questions about Tua before that video came out. There'll be plenty after. We're signing up for years of this.
Because
if you pay attention to Kyle Shanahan's offense, they've had similar questions about, wait a second, did we just stumble into a Brian Hoyer as our franchise quarterback? Is Jimmy Garoppolo the guy? Did we just rip New England off? This offense gets results, and it's going to get results with Tua to the point that you'll get pretty far, and you'll ask yourself, can we still upgrade? Because we can always get further. Look at San Francisco. San Francisco made it to within the throw of a world championship, and they drafted Trey Lance.
Right, but Jimmy G is still on the roster. He's still there.
It's puzzling. It's puzzling. Right. I don't know what exactly the plan is, but I'm telling you, this is your future, Miami. It was your past, it's your present, and it's most certainly going to be your future because no matter how good Tua is this season, within that offense, you're going to look at moments, you're going to see underthrown balls because he doesn't have the biggest arm in the world, and you're going to ask yourself, man, if we only had blank, imagine how far we'd go.
Like he'll get you to an AFC championship game or the second round, but it's not enough to win a championship. That's what you're saying?
I'm saying this is the norm for that offense.
Can I just
and it's been the norm for Tua.
But as the measurements to
unjustly Gatz, so because no, I love him like a child.
At the measurement of and win a championship, Stugatz.
Yeah.
The guy you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
The throws in that game that we're talking about, because Garoppolo doesn't get to fail forever on his throw if Mahomes before that hadn't underthrown Tyreek Hill on 3rd and 18, who was just doing loop-de-loops in the secondary, and it was an underthrow and just like unbelievable athleticism, because somehow in that league, Tyreek Hill is so much faster than everybody that he can just run in your secondary like no one else
but
can.
But you could do that with so many quarterbacks, Tim. Matthew Stafford threw a ball off for grabs against the Buccaneers. So, no, they shouldn't have won a Super Bowl.
My point on this is, when you inherit that quarterback coaching philosophy that can hide Garoppolo and get you within, with Garoppolo being no better or worse a quarterback, that if he makes that throw that time, they win the Super Bowl and are champions. Mike is saying years of this, and Mike, I don't think it's years of this. I think Tua will either... Like, they're going to test him now, and they've now fast-forwarded, just like Trey Lance did in San Francisco, that the window closes faster on these guys. So Tua will get, if he's healthy, a season to show that he can do something in this offense. And yes, they will be looking to upgrade if they can upgrade, because they don't, if they're not sure that he's part of the reason that they're having success on offense.
Next year's draft class for quarterbacks is going to be certainly better than this year. And what that means is not necessarily the Dolphins draft a quarterback, but that means teams with quarterbacks that are established may be tempted to take a younger prospect and move on from the, and divest from their position. I think what the Dolphins and primarily what the Philadelphia Eagles did in hedging their bets when it comes to their quarterback, going all in on this year, stacking draft picks for the following year so they have trade capital the following year, while giving their quarterbacks that are questionable the most possible weapons this year to make a fair assessment. I think the Dolphins and the Philadelphia Eagles in particular have totally killed it with that.
And I feel like it's a bit of a purgatory, because yes, they have streamlined how it is you get value at a position where you've got to be decisive. Stugatz, the Rams had to be decisive on Stafford. It had to be decisive. We thought we were right on Goff. Never mind, we were wrong on Goff. We gave Goff a bunch of money. Never mind, we were quickly wrong.
Right.
Like, there is a certain genius in knowing that you are an idiot quickly. Like, knowing, like, don't spend 7 years with Tannehill down here. Figure out quickly whether or not your quarterback is somebody who is going to
Jets did it with Sam Darnold. They figured it out quickly. They got rid of him to Carolina. I mean,
they figured it out quickly, not as quickly as this, I don't think.
Well, because, third season. I mean, Tua was entering his third season.
But Sam Darnold's career is over. Like, Sam Darnold.
Well, not according to Sam. Sam thinks he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Okay, but what do you think?
He's not.
Sam Darnold's career is now at the expired chances. Tua may get another. Tua's career is on the precipice for a year, and it usually doesn't happen that quick.
Right.
We're 4 years in. He's played like a season and even a half of healthy games, and the assessment's being made this year. May Tyreek Hill not get hurt. May Waddle not get hurt. May there not be like a five-game Brissett stretch where you're like, oh, again, muddied analysis.
It's Teddy Two Gloves this year, Dan.
Mm-hmm. You also have a guy across the state who we know wants to be here. He's building a home here. He wants ownership. Like, you know Tom Brady's going to be the quarterback for the Dolphins, right? You're aware of that.
You don't think that the window on that is closed?
No, the window never closes on Tommy. No.
I got to think that. Well, that was a good plan, and it would have been awesome if it worked, but we got called out on it. We haven't denied any of the reports.
I'm honestly rooting for it. I'm rooting for Stugatz and Billy to be right with the dookie bomb of Tom Brady. I think you guys should go out there and just report it. Tom Brady will be the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins and minority owner next year. Doesn't even matter what Tua does this year. He's been guaranteed the position in the retirement, before he goes into broadcasting, and guarantees himself a safety net of $375 million.
I'm glad you brought this up. Can I just start reporting stuff? Because if I can, and I'm asking you because you're the journalist and you're our boss, and I don't want to do anything to disrespect the brand here, but Can I just start reporting stuff like that with no facts, just on my gut? Can I do that?
Billy reported yesterday, I believe, that both Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid were going to be here.
Could come here. Yeah, and I laid out the way that it could happen. Now, it's up to Andy Ellisberg to do his part and make that happen if he wants it to happen. But, you know, sometimes some of these people are a little hard-headed and they don't want to see that, you know, a simpleton like me figured it out before they figured it out. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. I just merely presented you a potential scenario that could happen by the numbers, which was the question. That's now, whether or not they want to execute that, that's on them. I can't make other people do things that they don't want to do, Dan Le Batard. That's not what I can do. Now, Tom Brady clearly wants to play here.
No doubt. I'm just trying to figure out what the protocol is. Do I have to say according to sources? How do I do this?
Yeah.
Just, I'm asking you. I'm going to tweet it out right now.
Well, do you have any sources?
No.
Well, you can't do according to sources if you don't
Can Stugatz and I be each other's sources?
No, you have to have a credible source that has information. It can't be
There's no way to verify that, though, right? Yeah, like, if just like at random, like let's say Chris Broussard says, I have sources. No one says, well, who are they? You know, like you just say sources.
Well, no, they do say who are they at a point down the line when the reporting has to check out. Like, there's not, it's not in, well, it used to be that way. I don't know if it's changed now. I don't know if anybody can report anything, but it used to be that Broussard had to be, somebody in the organization who would know who his source was.
But how do we make it so it sounds like we know what we're talking about?
Yeah,
like we're
on the inside. Well, how do we fake it?
You're going to have to lie. Yeah, you're both going to have to.
Here's the question. How long can we do this for before we have to pay the piper? You know what I mean? Like, how long can we just say things and say sources before someone? Because you said
you can't say sources.
Someone,
you don't have sources.
Well, you don't know that. Exactly.
But I do know.
You don't know that. You don't know my sources. I can't reveal those. It's part of being a journalist.
I can ask someone, in the event that I get busted, will you be my source?
Exactly.
You know?
I know people, both organizations. That's right. Yes.
If we're going to act as a journalistic entity where I am the managing editor of what you guys report, because it's always falling back on me when you guys do dumb shit.
How about according to Dan's sources?
Yes, there you go.
Whether it's Warren Sapp's bad breath or any other number of people who want to kill me because of things that you've said.
You shouldn't have said that, though. I mean,
you volunteered the halitosis.
You did.
But the question is, like, if we start breaking news with our sources, real or imaginary, right? How long before someone calls us into like an office about that, and who is that in this company? Like, who is the person? Yeah, like that's what I'm wondering.
I'm guessing Skipper probably would reprimand you journalistically, I would suppose.
I'm wondering though, like, is there like a tribunal? There's like a three-headed monster. It's like Gare Bear and it's Skip, and then it's like, I don't know who the other person is. Yeah,
I think it's Skip. Like, he takes that stuff very seriously, as he should, by the way.
Well, I mean, but we're a different brand.
No, you should try it. I think you should test it. I think you should, since you...
No one's called me in on the other thing yet, you know, and I'm Embiid and Durant, so...
I mean, how do I position it, though, so I don't upset John Skipper? That's what I'm trying to ask you, or you.
Well, why don't you just do it and see if you upset him, because I don't know. I'm telling you.
So I just say, I'm reporting, me and Billy Gill are reporting that Tom Brady will be the Dolphin quarterback next season?
Yes. Yeah,
but you have to say according to sources.
No, but you don't have sources.
But that's what you have to say.
Why you can't lie.
No, why not?
Because you're supposed to be journalistically credible there. Mike Ryan wasn't making up his reporting on all the University of Miami stuff. It's not Stugatz just has an opinion, and he is bending over and not even bending over very much to pull it right out of his ass. But he hasn't talked to anybody. He has no information. He doesn't have any. He's not talked to a source, not a banker, not a person at a restaurant. Nobody.
I did the same thing when I said he was coming back after he retired, and he came back.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. You wouldn't disagree with the fact that Stugatz has been right on a lot of these things, right? So, like, maybe it's possible, and just follow me down this path, maybe it's possible Stugatz doesn't need sources. You know, like, other people need sources, but Stugatz is just so right on some of these things that he doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then you just say according to sources, because that's what you put on these things.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes people just write copyright after things that they haven't actually copywritten, you know? Well, just so no one steals it.
Yeah, but the thing that you keep skipping past merrily is when you keep saying according to sources, and you have no governor for that. And I'm telling you, there's always been... If anyone like Ken Rosenthal or Jay Glazer or anyone else is saying according to sources, there are informed sources. Nobody makes that up.
But sometimes they're wrong.
Yeah.
So what difference does it make if they have sources that give them the wrong information, right, or we have imaginary sources that give us the right information?
I think you tell me if I'm wrong about this, because Adam Schefter has taken an awful number of credibility hits recently, and yet his information is so often not wrong that you trust him as an insider in a way that makes him hugely valuable, because you totally trust that his information does actually come from people who are informed.
That's the problem. We're not at that level yet. We're at the level where they just question everything that we say, even if we have sources. Mm-hmm. So, Dan, you're going to have to lend us your credibility so that people assume we're telling the truth, and then we kind of figure out as things play out if they're the truth or not the truth. You know what I mean? Because people just assume that we're making stuff up. So Stugatz could actually break a story with sources and people won't credit him for it.
Exactly right. I just want to be able to use your name for credibility.
Yes.
So can I say, hey, I checked I checked with that Levitard show.
But why wouldn't it
he
be
approved this?
At Stupidity? Why wouldn't it be according to Stupidity and build up the brand name of Stupidity? Stupidity, where Gronk often appears, where there might be a source, one of the meatheads in the frat house of a Gronkery that you guys have cultivated. You might actually have a source on what Tom Brady is doing.
Right. It seems like might having a source is not the way to go about this, but I'm happy to do it if you're okay with it. Like, if you're saying, hey, go for it and just figure out the source later, I'm good with that.
No, I'm saying you should have, perhaps you should talk to one of these meatheads in a way that's not on air.
I have a question
and
for you.
Get some information. Okay. Yes, or go to one of these bachelor parties that you guys have been saying you're going to broadcast live from.
No one else is getting married.
Yeah.
Exactly. I have a question for you, because I only have a minor in journalism, right? And it's been quite a while since I took classes. So let's say we have a conversation with our friend K-Funk, right? And we tell K-Funk, hey, K-Funk, tell me this thing, right? And then he tells us that thing. Can we then say he's a source if he's just parroting to us what we told him to tell us?
But we can never reveal that he's the source. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Right. But is K-Funk good enough? He's Jabba Chamberlain's assistant.
That is unethical. You have to have sources that are informed, and they're
K-Funk's informed.
He knows everyone.
You guys really don't understand how credibility works, huh?
I don't care.
Okay. Well,
can we buy it? Is the question.
Look at who you're talking to.
You're my credibility.
Exactly.
I know, but you have to work for that. You can't.
I have,
you
20
can't,
years.
You can't. I mean, but you can't just borrow my credibility by trying to say.
But we've been working.
Mine is yours.
Can I just make up sources?
Rude.
I mean. Can I just invent sources I don't have? I will not even call one of these meatheads to ask, even though I probably have access to the information.
We don't want to bother them. You know.
I just want to bend over and K-Funk's blow it out.
Busy.
Blow it out my ass.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Did you guys see Gilbert Arenas' assessment of Zion Williamson?
Agent Zero.
Stugatz.
Did you answer my question there or no?
No.
Okay, very good.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Happy June.
We should get him to do something. How much do you think that would cost? Like,
Happy
make him
June?
Our NFL insider. What do you think that would cost?
Probably
money to charity, right? He's not going to keep the money.
I think we should approach him. How do we negotiate?
I don't know.
Deal?
I think he lives in like a cave or something.
Vegetables.
Where has he been?
Happy June.
We just put out like a bunch of like
seeds.
We seeds and vegetables seeds. And like a wooden crate to try to capture him. Like he's a rabbit or something.
You know how weird it is in modern celebrity, Billy, that out there, everybody wants a quarterback. Baker Mayfield is like the best of what you got if you lose in musical chairs. And out there is a savior that we all know would drop into your huddle and immediately be great at quarterback. and no one could talk to him, and he just quit and lost a bunch of weight. And I just want to grow my beard.
You saw the Washington Commanders tried to talk him out of retirement.
Why would you not?
Yeah, before they went for Carson Wentz, they tried for Andrew Luck.
Why would you not? You'd reinvigorate your fan base. He'd come in on a wagon.
Rested.
Totally.
I am interested in being a commander.
His clothes would be baggy because he's lost like 50 pounds because he's been milking cows for like 2 years.
Oh, that would be a riot.
You think his wife ever tells him, like, you are a millionaire. You do not need to be doing these things. Like, you don't need to be going to Payless, Andrew. You're fine.
I think he has figured out life, man.
Yeah.
That football is a real rat race. And he's like, you know what? Good God, what a furnace of violence and awful. I'm going to go live on a farm. Leave me alone.
That does sound like how he'd describe it. You know, it was a furnace of violence and awful. I just want to, you know, walk through the home and go to my UFOs and, you know, tend to my beats.
UFOs are perfect for him. A perfect word.
UFOs.
According to my sources, I am reporting that Andrew Luck is coming back this year.
Okay.
How about that?
That's cool. That's fine. A savior. To whom? Because it's not enough to just say coming back. You probably need to.
Unclear. I'm waiting on K-Funk. I mean, I'll get back to you.
Okay.
He's busy.
Go ahead and break that news,
don't
Juju.
Just gave away your source.
And I would say, that's terrible journalism. You don't,
incredible.
That's why. So another thing, you have to protect your sources. You don't tell anybody who they are except the one at the end. If it comes to litigation, then you tell, you know, one of your bosses, your superiors, so that now the newspaper has liability issues. You know none of this. You care of none of this. You just want to say it on the air.
How would that go if we go all the way through the whole thing and it gets to litigation because of something that Stugatz has reported, and then eventually he gets in front of Gary and Skip and you, and they're like, Stugatz, like, we're being sued for tens of millions of dollars. Like, you need to reveal your source. And he's like, it was Jabba Chamberlain's assistant.
That's right. I overheard him. He didn't even know I was quoting him. I just overheard. He was talking in the kitchen to Jabba. And I was just listening on the Zoom. And then we go bankrupt. We're like Gawker because Stugatz has bankrupted us trying to just do the reporting of overhearing Jabba Chamberlain.
Well, if you overhear someone, this is interesting from a journalistic standpoint.
That's not how you do that.
You can't do it?
It's not how you do that.
Oh, really?
Why not?
Why?
If you overhear someone on a Zoom that's not on the record, that it's acknowledged that two people are talking and they know they're being taped, videotaped.
I think on Zoom, everything's on the record.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're on a Zoom link.
Okay,
I mean,
but those are the new rules, I suppose, Stugatz. I suppose the new rules are that may someone not shame you for anything that's happened accidentally on the Zoom. I would love to put together a master cut 24-hour channel of just us during the pandemic trying to teach old sports writers how to use the Zoom. Everybody, from Stephen A. Smith to Bob Costas. Look at Mike Ryan, defeated. His face is hurt from just his legends, the sports writing legends falling apart at his feet because everybody was an old person.
In the very early days, it wasn't even Zoom. It was Skype. We were still Skyping.
Forget
and
Skype.
That's even more difficult to explain to the likes of Bob Costas, who doesn't even have Wi-Fi. How do you not have Wi-Fi? You're Bob Costas. He was trying to plug in a hard line to his cell phone. It was ridiculous.
Mike, I think we've got a bit of loser's lament I am feeling in the air as we clean up the last little remnants of heat season before the finals start between Boston and Golden State. And I did want to ask everybody, like, what are you rooting for? Because I kind of want Boston to take out Golden State, even though I think Golden State is better.
Why do you want Boston, just out of curiosity?
Oh, it's just a better story. It's a surprise. It's new face of the league. It's, you know, tap into the storied past of all that stuff. I'm not sure. I've got to see how I feel.
Rooting for your rival?
I've got to see how I feel when I watch it. But I'm not, it's not even rooting for the rival. It's rooting for sports. It's rooting for surprise. Because this has been a weird season. I'm having trouble with the calibrations. Boston seemed to me the second half of the season like they were better than everybody, and I want to see if they can, switching and playing defense the way that Miami does, whether they can somehow bother this cleanest, purest shooting team you've ever known, the Golden State Warriors, that you've seen be effortless during the playoffs?
I'll see how I feel organically. Off the cuff, I don't want Boston to be successful. I want the people that have the banner over me to be sad at the end of this. That would make me very happy, their sadness. But
you don't like losing to the champs, Mike?
No, I mean...
No? Doesn't matter to you?
No, yeah. It doesn't matter. He got swept by the champs in the first round.
It's fair.
Did I raise that banner? Okay. No, I did get into it with Steph Curry Twitter, and I did not enjoy my experience yesterday, so I don't want them to be happy. If the Warriors could win, but Steph Curry finals without winning finals MVP, that would be my
Mike,
happiest.
This is why I'm asking you. Golden State has arrived here just recently and has given a lot of voice to we're light years ahead of everybody, forgetting that the 50 years before the last 10, the 50 years before, they'd never won anything in the Western Conference Finals.
Can you be light years ahead of everybody and miss the last two postseasons prior to? Yeah.
But Mike, here they are again with the same core, but with young guys as well.
Yeah, no, they did
with
a great
Wiggins,
job.
With Poole.
Poole was incredible development. Yeah. I guess I don't like either of these teams. I think I'm talking it out with you, and I'll see who's a more deserved champion, but I hate the Celtics more as a team, certainly.
The reason
I don't like Warriors fans all that much.
I like the matchup, though, the series.
Reason I asked you all of the questions I asked you there is because I'm not sure that Miami's fans had gotten over the scars yet of what has happened the last few days to actually examine how they're about to feel in games they don't much want to be watching. And I don't know. I'll figure it out when it starts. But the loser's lament that I was talking about before that is Max Strus is now out here saying forever, allowing you forever. Well, it changed the momentum of the game, that replay call. It changed. It went from, we were in the game with momentum to we were down 11. And Max Strus on a replay that was replayed that shouldn't have been replayed, that was only replayed because they were going to see whether it was a 2 or a 3. And then because they had that replay, they said, well, out of bounds, we don't still know whether it was out of bounds. Max Strus is now saying that changed the game. That changed everything.
They had a shot to win at the end.
but they also would have had the lead at the end. Jimmy Butler would be coming down the court with a lead if they had those extra 3 points now, wouldn't he?
Weak.
Yeah. Well, this sounds like a job for Basketball Illuminati, and I'm sure they cover it in this week's episode. We welcome in Tom Haberstroh. Welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me. Illuminati, Illuminati, Illuminati. We had an episode this morning that we talked about the Strus call. Everyone needs to keep their third eye open on this one, guys.
I should have said yesterday, I aired because did you know that there was an emergency podcast between Mike Schur and Joe Posnanski on everything that happened with Tommy Pham and Jock Peterson? Because they've been obsessed with Tommy Pham for years. Tommy Pham, evidently everyone in baseball knows Tommy Pham is a bleep hole. Like everyone knows Tommy Pham's the worst. And so it's not surprising that Jock Peterson was in full bloom character, that he was doing a bit because everyone in baseball knows the secrets of Tommy Pham is a bleep hole.
Are you reporting that or?
I'm not reporting it, but Mike Schur and Joe Posnanski have you covered over there, just like Tom Haberstroh and Amin on Basketball Illuminati will have you covered with the conspiracy that is the shadowy underparts of Max Strus's sneaker.
I was doing bit when I was doing the Goodfellas scene where Tommy Pham says hello to Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts and Jock Peterson. And I was going to say Mikey Trout would be in there too. Turns out the commissioner of this fantasy league is indeed Mikey Trout.
Really, Trouty?
Bad job out of him. And if there was ever a hands-off commissioner for this type of fantasy league that has become unruly, it would be Mike Trout.
Huge money involved, and he's just passive. He's passively at the top of the pyramid, but not legislating the way that this needs to be legislated. Anyway, you should listen to Posnanski and Schur on this because they are very funny, and they have a whole history that goes back a ways. But the reason that Tom is in town is not just Basketball Illuminati and basketball. I don't know how he feels about this Golden State series or who it is that he's rooting for in this series. But the cause that we are asking you to contribute to locally and nationally and internationally, Billy and Tom have been putting together this project. Tell the people what it is that we're doing at the Marlins game so that they support over the next couple of days some money that we're raising and allows the listener to understand who we're raising it for.
Yeah, so it's called Lulapalooza. Not Lollapalooza, Lulapalooza, because June 2nd, Thursday, is Lou Gehrig Day in baseball. I was on a committee with a bunch of folks with ALS last year, grassroots campaign to get Lou Gehrig Day established in baseball, because there is a disease out there with Lou Gehrig's name on it, because he passed away from ALS 80 years ago, and we were flabbergasted that the Major League Baseball didn't have a Lou Gehrig Day on the calendar to raise awareness and money to end this disease. ALS is a 100% fatal disease. There are no cures. There are no treatments. And so on Thursday, as part of Lou Gehrig Day across baseball, here in Miami, they're going to host the San Francisco Giants, and this show is going to do a pregame party at the ballpark before the game, and we're going to raise money and raise awareness for Lou Gehrig disease and try to end this.
We can actually say now we will be at the Bacardi Bar tomorrow, 5:30 before the game, and we will be not exactly serving. We'll be at the Bacardi Bar. And
that's
you can come hang out with us. There's going to be other pregame festivities. Tom's going to be involved with a variety of things throughout the game. So go to worldofsui.com because we need you to not only donate if you can to help raise money to find a cure. We're also trying to do something special for one person who is suffering with this disease locally. And on top of that, you can buy tickets on worldofsui.com. There's a link where a portion of those tickets will go to raising money for this, and you'll be able to sit in the section where we will be.
Nice. When you say someone special, I really don't know, Tom. This disease has had a name for a while, but I know how much Boog Shambi has poured himself into raising funds because one of his best friends and your mother are trapped in an unusual kind of trapped in an unusual kind of hell that is supporting people with a wheelchair that costs $25,000 or $40,000 allows you to change their life in a way that's substantive the remainder of their life. So these are intensely personal causes for you.
Yeah, my mom is in year 5 of battling this disease, and the disease has a life expectancy of 2 to 5 years. And you can imagine what that must be like when you get that diagnosis and they say to you, you have Lou Gehrig's disease, you have ALS, and there is no cure, no treatment, and you rely on a wheelchair to get around. Your autonomy, your independence, your very dignity as a human being relies on technology. A motorized wheelchair is very much the most freedom you can give someone with ALS, because there is no hope for a lot of people with ALS in terms of cures, but they can get technology. And that's one of Boog Shambi's mottos, is until there is a cure, there is care. And you need these motorized wheelchairs to get your autonomy back, because this disease, how it works, is your body is attacking its motor neurons and your muscles just deteriorate, and you paralyze from the feet all the way up until you cannot breathe anymore. My mom needed a wheelchair, and fortunately, insurance was able to give her one, but a lot of people in America can't afford this, and their insurance won't pick it up. And we found someone in the South Florida region, huge Marlins fan, whose insurance won't pick up their motorized wheelchair, and he can't get around without it. And we are going to, hopefully, with everyone's help listening to this, going to worldofsui.com/Lulapalooza to donate so we can award him before the game with a motorized, customized wheelchair on Lou Gehrig Day.
So if you're in the area and you want to go to that game, hang out with the show, sit around the show during this ball game, as Tom said, go to worldofsui.com/Lulapalooza. But also, if you can't make it down to South Florida and you still want to find ways to help, we're going to be doing a telethon style show tomorrow in hopes to fundraise for this cause.
And more, if possible, because last year we don't stop at a wheelchair. If the audience wants to continue to raise money, we will have uses for it that are all charitable.
We need to figure something out, guys, because last year we had kind of like a motivating factor for people to come in, and it was to see us suffer. But as fans of the show remember, that caused a lot of problems on the back end for a lot of people and lots of meetings.
The back end?
Yeah. Well, Tom's back end for sure, but also lots of meetings for lots of people.
You're saying me going to a baseball game is not suffering.
Well, I think we need to incentivize people tomorrow, Dan, but like you're in charge around these parts. Yeah. So we kind of need to, really the buck stops with you. So this is kind of almost like what can we do that if we get to certain levels, we'll do for people? You know what I mean? But also with you in the room now, if we get in trouble, it's not our fault.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Because that worked out the last time.
Yeah.
Well, so last year, Kate and I ate pepper. We don't have to relitigate that.
That's not happening again, Dan. We can tell you that right now.
Ever.
I was trying to think, how many peanuts and Cracker Jacks?
Mm. There's peanut allergies.
There are no safe spaces here. There are allergies to everything, to glutens, to...
Where were you headed, though? Like, what were you...
Here's where I was headed.
Okay.
Lou Gehrig broke the record for most consecutive games, 2,130 straight games. As the Iron Horse in baseball.
Horse.
You think you can eat that many peanuts during a game?
Don't do this.
2,130 peanuts and Cracker Jacks. How big is that?
That's awful. That's a terrible idea.
Every day for 2,130 days?
How about you eat one a day for 2,131 straight days?
That's a good idea.
But that's a long payoff.
One a day, yes.
That's like 8 Lou Gehrig's days. No, more than that. I'm bad at math.
One very big peanut. Is there like a peanut the size of a human skull?
No, don't do that either.
All right.
I think we need to avoid eating things, possibly.
Right, I'll make the ultimate sacrifice.
Uh-oh.
If you guys reach our benchmark, which is, I think, 444444.
Yeah, $44,444 in honor of Lou Gehrig, who wore number 4.
For the entire fourth inning of this ball game. Wow. Number one, I'm already saying through 3.5 innings of baseball.
You are not endearing yourself to... people are stunned that this show is doing anything with the Marlins.
I will not
shave my head. I'll be sleeping in the fourth.
For the fourth inning,
my bad.
I will sit down in a seat. I can't even believe I'm going to say this. And I will watch the fourth inning.
Wow.
We will do this on the show.
Sacrifice. I'll watch the fifth.
I will watch all 6 outs.
Stop. That's not a thing.
What would we be willing to do in order for the audience to pay us to watch a complete game?
Off the table.
The whole game?
Off the table. I'd rather shave my head again.
How high?
The entire 9 innings?
I can't check my phone? No, I am not watching nine on a Thursday of the NBA Finals.
A complete game.
No. You know what? I'll just say hi to folks before the pregame and...
Is Stugatz coming? Do we know if Stugatz is going to be there?
Debatable. What's the pitching matchup? Who are they playing?
Is Trevor Rogers
playing
pitching?
The Giants tomorrow?
Oh, nice little matchup.
Is it Trevor Rogers?
I don't know.
I got him on my fantasy team.
Really?
I think Alex Wood might be starting for the Giants.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, it's an Alex Wood. Oh, wow, guys. It's Alex Wood and Sandy's pitching. Sandy's been incredible.
Let's go.
Could be a quick one. What are we doing? What do you mean? Where are we going?
Yeah, we still haven't figured out.
You're saying we get to a certain number, $44,444.
The only thing Stugatz will contribute to this is staring at you right now and telling you that he's coming and then not showing up. Like, all his charitable cause right here will just be telling you that he's about to be charitable.
Wait, but Billy already told the Marlins that you're showing up. He's pot committed, right?
Well, you told me you were going, so I told them
were
going.
Yeah, but that's my move. I do that.
I mean, that words mean nothing.
Are we gonna say no?
We have until the end of the segment to take something back off the table. This is just
the
way
fourth
too
inning.
Horrible.
The fourth inning.
I'm not watching the fourth inning of this.
Wait, we haven't even gotten it cleared. Legal hasn't even cleared it yet, and you're already pulling it off
the
table.
I'm not doing it. I can't do it.
It's too much suffering. This is a groundbreaking union, Billy. You have caused repair between us and the Marlins.
Well, it seems like disrepair is on the horizon.
Well, no, this is my coming against baseball. Nobody is. This is nobody saying anything bad about the Marlins. The Marlins have been very charitable in helping us out and helping make Luke Gehrig's day something more. Boog's been trying to make this a day in baseball, and it's become a day in baseball. Baseball does help this cause on this day.
100%. Awareness is our biggest thing that we need for the ALS community. People don't know what ALS is, and I didn't know what ALS was when I took the ice bucket. Who did the ice bucket challenge?
Yeah, right?
I did it. Yeah.
I had no idea what it was. 2014 did the ice bucket thing, and I said it was for ALS. Had no idea what it was for. So we need to get more awareness.
Why in an audio sphere would you ask us a question that required raised hands?
It was a good question, though.
It was.
It was going somewhere, Dan.
Yeah, it was.
You could have said, I did, without raising your hand. I did both. I raised my hand, then I said, I did. Yeah.
You're a pro.
I did it, so I did it.
Yeah.
I'll do a half inning.
So we're going to be doing the show live tomorrow, which is not normal for Thursday shows. We're going to be live on YouTube.
I'm not doing the half inning.
But we need to have some sort of payoff, I think. We need to be building up to something. Yeah. We need to kind of be motivating people
You took back a sentence of we are going to be serving drink, and then you turned back around and ran.
You know, the lawyers, that's a thing. We're going to be there. We're going to be at the bar. We're going to be there. Don't worry about
that. That's not incentive enough. There has to be some shame. No. There has to be some suffering.
Oh, yeah, Dan. People don't want to just meet us. They want us to suffer.
There
Do you not know
pool.
These people?
There used to be a pool out there.
With our fans. That's
well, this one's in right field. Yeah, this
if
is
I've
right
ever heard one.
So, wow. So, if we raise a certain amount, Mike will spend 2 minutes talking to each person and taking photos.
That's a little too much.
That's off the table.
Wow. Jeez. I mean, do you want to find a cure?
Mike Ryan is willing to endure the personal hell of three innings, is what it is.
No!
I think he's pulled that back. I think he pulled it back. No. Yeah. I think he said a half inning.
No.
Yeah.
I said three outs, and then I took that off the table.
Right.
You're going in the other direction here. These are two aces. These are two people who are pitching who are going to go through. They're going to mow through the order.
Tom, I love you.
Alex Wood's 3-4 with almost 5 ERA. So.
Easy on ace. So.
I am here to support the cause. I will be by the bar. You have my word.
Yeah, but during the show is what we're trying to figure out. What do we do during the show?
How about this? Yeah. How about this? I got an idea. I just texted you, Mike, a little passage from a 1929 New Yorker profile on Lou Gehrig. Okay. Kind of want you to read an excerpt in your old-timey voice, just the newspaper, you know, voicing this story here.
There is a superstitious belief among the Yankees that eating pickled eels at I am not eating a pickled eel.
A pickled eel?
What?
That eating pickled eels at the Gehrigs will make you hit the ball. If any member of the team is batting badly, tries to get Lou to ask him up for dinner. Even the largest parties at supper time do not annoy Mrs. Gehrig.
Lou Gehrig used to fish in the Long Island Sound for eels and used to catch so many that he would bring it home and Mrs. Gehrig would pickle them because what else are you going to do? You're not going to throw away the eels.
Not fish for eels.
Mrs. G.
So, I don't know. Unagi is eel sushi?
I don't know.
So are you eating an eel? What are we doing?
What's happening?
I'm thinking 44 pieces of unagi eel.
What is
sushi tomorrow?
Why do you
the eating things is what
do?
Gets us in trouble.
What are you doing?
The hottest pepper in the world is what got me in trouble. Not eating.
You wanted to eat 2,000 peanuts a minute ago.
You're going to do this again without any vetting. You guys are going to make the same mistake where we talk this all out poorly on air and then there's a liability issue and somebody eats too much eel and is poisoned for 7 months.
Yeah, the vetting. I'm not doing that.
I prefer. Okay. Yeah, I'm here. And not only is it not good as an idea, also bad. Is content as a bonus. So we've got both working.
Pickled eel, Dan.
Yes, let's make that the contest. Raise a bunch of money so that Tom eats eel. Everyone, get behind ALS. We think of nothing when we do charitable things. We just eat eel and try and figure it out the day before after the Marlins have planned Lou Gehrig Day. Like, it's unbelievable that this is the planning that goes into these things.
What about 44 hot wings?
No, anything with hot is. No, you can't.
I can go with you on that, Tom.
Oh, Lord.
Why are you getting angry and lashing out? We're trying to raise money for a great cause. What is happening here? I mean, I'm trying to find the cure.
Do you guys not remember how the company almost blew apart on the pepper? You're not even going to try and find a cure by showing up. You can't even promise. Mike can't.
You were here. You should have said no.
Mike can't promise half an inning. You can't promise that you'll show up. I'm the asshole for not being charitable.
Tom, I love you. I will do anything to help you and support this cause, but I will not be watching a full inning of baseball. Thank you.
Jeez.
Will you even be at the bar, or are you going to be at a different bar?
I'll be at the bar.
Are you going to be at,
well, there's going to be people there.
Well, I'll be at the one with no people.
Oh.
Wait. On the other side of the ballpark?
Here's the game. Try to find me. But don't. And if you find me, don't look at me.
You're going to be charitably hiding from fans of the show. That's what you're going to do. Charitably hiding from fans
of
the show.
Yeah, I will do my part in avoiding all our fans. Make it a fun game.
So what? It's a cavernous ballpark. It's going to be an Easter egg. Can you find Mike? Yeah. Mike is going to be hiding in one of the upper deck bathrooms where there nobody is.
Yeah, we'll make it a game. Run that by the Marlins.
Sheets and Giggles yesterday donated $1,069 to our charity. That was incredible. And I found out this morning, someone re-upped that. Or someone topped it. David Sampson.
Wow.
$1,069.69.
Are you? Do you want to refund his money, Billy? Because you don't want Samson's dirty Marlins money.
He can help find a cure.
Yeah.
You'll allow it though. I think that Samson is surprised that there's been any bridge built back to the Marlins, at least in part because the bridge was harmed.
Probably a little light, if we're gonna be honest.
You'd expect more.
Team sold for $1 billion plus, you know.
About 6,900.
Like, it's high for sheets and giggles. We appreciate it, right? That's very nice.
We're going to
bankrupt
that
company. Be higher.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a great lane for you to carve out, telling people that they're not contributing
exactly
enough to
right.
charity.
Let's go.
I love that. Please, to God's be someone, just like you shamed people during the pandemic for Rona spreading while you were a personal deer district.
He's a charity reverse hack.
You were a peach tree dish for disease while lecturing everybody. While lecturing everybody on COVID. And now I want this to end with you shaming people into being more charitable while you yourself don't show up at the event.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike. And typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.